Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Welcome, Scrummagers, once again. Adam Peacock alongside James Graham. Welcome to a new week, James. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Adam. It's strange weekend, the football.
Couple of blowouts, eh?
Yeah. Wonder if the Anzac Day ceremony has anything to do with that. It's difficult to figure out because there was the blowouts. Yeah, interesting.
We'll delve into it, shall we, a bit later on. Brent Reed from the Daily Telegraph.
Hi, mate, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Great, great. Good weekend of footy.
It was.
Actually, had a couple of days off and watched the footy at home.
Did you?
Yes.
How'd you wrangle that?
Oh, the missus, she's into a footy now because she's in a tipping comp.
Okay.
So when she's in a tipping comp, she actually takes an interest. So yeah. Coles wasn't, she was all right, wasn't too painful.
The less you know, the more you know. She beating you?
Actually, I bumped into a trailer. Actually, I went out for dinner on Saturday night. Can I tell you this story?
Yeah, go. Okay.
I was down at Manly Grill. I'm sitting in there. Mitchell Pearce walked in.
Mitchell?
Yeah, one of our own.
Yes.
Yeah, dinner right beside us. Piercy?
Good stuff.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a spotted. Spotted Mitch Pearce.
Well, Mitch is doing
great
that.
Yarn. I got plenty more of them, Charlie. Don't worry. I can ball for Australia.
Now, Mitch Pearce, former Roosters half. Luke Keary is soon to be a former Roosters half because he's cool time on his career. We'll start with that one. Where does he rank, Luke? Because it feels like his career has gone in an instant. Souths, Roosters, premiership winner as well, ultra competitive. When he's very good, generally speaking, the team he's playing in is very good. Great career.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And winning premierships with two teams, that is an incredible feat. So he... I think he goes above and beyond. You know, look at the size of him. He plays a very tough style of football. I think that's probably one of the reasons he's retiring at the age of 32. When we look at the impact of the older halves in recent years, you know, you would have thought there was more football in Luke, but he's probably paying the price from the way he puts his body on the line and some of the whacks that he's taken, where it's probably the toll of that has just added up. I think probably looking at Luke's career probably doesn't get the credit he deserves because, you know, the lack of representative football. And I know that he...
One Origin game, two tests. I just looked it up.
Yeah.
And three tests for Ireland.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
I would not forget that. He would have had a great time with those Irish lads. just on that, though, like with the rep thing, he probably would have played more if he'd have been... a bit more passionate about playing for New South Wales.
Well, he is a Queenslander. He was born in Queensland. He was unlucky because the rules conspired against him. But he was actually a Queenslander.
What rules?
He basically said, I'm a Queenslander,
He came out and said, you know, when he was a bit younger, I grew up watching Queensland. I think Darren Lockyer was his hero. And then, but because of the way the rules are structured around Origin eligibility. Mm. He was deemed a New South Wales player.
Forever known as, thanks to Greg Inglis, the Maxville Accord.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was one New South Wales got back on Queensland. But you're right, Jimmy, I reckon he would have played more games of Origin if he was been allowed to play for Queensland. But he's a great player.
Or been more in the New South Wales.
In love with the Sky Blue jersey, probably, yeah.
Because that would have been a big thing against him.
Yeah.
But let's not take anything away from the career that he's had. The competitive or the competitor that is Luke Keary is something that always stood out for me on a football field playing against him. Like he would come and test out middles.
Oh, would he?
Yeah, he'd come and test us out.
In what way?
Well, he wouldn't be scared to run anywhere near us. So he'd come across the field sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't care if you were coming at him. But he'd compete to get past you and make you pay for coming out the line.
Yeah.
He was really good. He was a battle. He was a handful.
Was he a talker out there as well? As in, he'd let you know about certain elements of your game or his game?
No, not that, like that sort of, I guess, well, how would you describe it? The pest.
Chirpy type.
Yeah.
The Reed Marnie type.
Yeah, not like that, no.
Yeah.
Brave, though. Very brave. Yeah. I mean, you know, they played Manly how many weeks ago? Two or three weeks ago. And there was
Round two, getting
hammered by Himole Olakau'atu the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
And he just kept Damon up, kept dragging himself off the turf. And he sort of did that his whole career because he wasn't the biggest bloke going around. But he always got in the way. And in the end, it probably cost him a couple of years because he had the concussions and those fight with multiple concussions. And that's played a part, no doubt, in his decision. But
what does it mean?
Too brave for his own, at times.
Yeah, just quickly on the weekend as well, like the game, the score had blown out.
Yeah.
And he gets injured literally with like 30 seconds to go. And he was hobbling around. And we spoke to him after the game at Triple M. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. But you could clearly see he was in some strife. Yeah. Like he's one of those blokes that I reckon can be involved in incidents. You're just like, mate, just get yourself out of the way. Just slip yourself in first gear, mate. The Roosters are up by 50. Just
relax.
Don't play on the wing.
Yeah.
Go and hide out. Or sub yourself off with a cramp, something like that.
What does it mean for the Roosters? So Joey Manu, big hole to fill. James Tedesco, how long left? Sam Walker developing the way Trent Robinson wants him to develop. But now Keary goes as well, and Jared too. In all probability,
Jared's gone to Hull KR. Yeah, yeah. Angus Crichton contract still.
Yeah.
Not figured out. He was very close to going to Rugby Union. Yeah.
Like, he's still looking at it.
We've got to keep him. Roosters need to keep him. And I say we, as in the game.
I think he wants to go though, Jimmy. I think he wants to. My understanding was, basically, he's been in talks with Montpellier in the French top 14 league. If they get relegated, then it's all over. He'll look back at the NRL. But if they stay up, he'll go to Montpellier. Mm. So,
how is the French rugby relegation battle looming?
I think they're second last, actually, at the moment. I looked at it the other day.
How long to go? This is what you did on the weekend, wasn't it? You're watching French rugby.
Yes. But, yeah, I think this means it's Sam Walker's team now, the Roosters.
Yeah.
You know, I think now it's officially Sam Walker's team. I think it's going down that path anyway, when you watch Sam Walker and what he did on Anzac Day. But this basically is the handover, the baton passing to Sammy Walker. Well, they've got to get him done because he's only got a year to go on his deal. And if he hits November 1... I mean, the Roosters are going to have a fight in their hands because there'll be a lot of football clubs who need a halfback at the moment, and he's one of the biggest and best that would come on the market.
Sounds like Lachlan Ilias is about to come on the market.
Well, he will too, yeah.
Just on it becoming Walker's team, being at the game on Thursday, you could see there was a moment where Keary's over to the left, Walker's come out, swung over to the left and almost pushed Luke Keary over to say, like, I need to be first on ball here. So we're seeing that changing of the guard anyway. And, you know, Walker, the dominant kicker, Walker, the player that I think teammates are looking to say sort of what's happening.
Yep.
Like, what's the game plan? You know, we get a drop out, a penalty. We're under the post. We've just scored. Sam, what do you want us to do? And even speaking to Luke after the game, Luke Keary said, like, no, this is Sam's team now. So Luke can help with that. And then obviously the Roosters they've got some huge boots to fill.
Well, they've got sombrero space, don't they, for next year?
Well, it's interesting because we've checked this and they basically said they're not going to really go to market because they've had to upgrade a lot of guys.
Yeah,
they've got to upgrade some younger guys. But I'm not sure whether they're factoring this in. So,
Swalee as well.
And Swalee, so you mentioned maybe Tupou.
Yeah.
Jared, Swalee, Keary, Crichton.
That's like 40% of your cap.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, but they've also signed, you know, obviously, they put Dom Young on a deal, long-term deal there, Spencer Lenu. They've signed guys on long-term deal, and they've got to upgrade Sam Walker. I mean, they're going to have to basically double his pay, Sam Walker. And I would think
it'll be as much as that. It'll be a double.
I'm not sure he's on much over 500, Sam, from memory. I can't really remember, but...
God, he's headed for a million?
Well, why not? He's a halfback at...
Good on him.
One of the top clubs in the NRL.
Yeah,
Halfback wages are $1 million now, the good ones, and he's a good one. So I'd imagine he's a seven-figure guy.
It's like you at the Telegraph.
Really. If only. actually, I'd have to take a pay cut for that. So, you know, they've got to upgrade him, and that's going to be crucial for them. This will give them the wriggle room. Maybe they can upgrade him next year as well as part of that and extend him out. You know, that's their priority, I'd suggest.
Have you got I don't know if you've got in mail, which we'll get to in shortly because we want to get it the way we'll get to South, but the English Super League halfback.
Lewis Dodd.
Yeah.
Lewis Dodd.
I mean, that will play some interesting games with the market given how like you're saying, how valuable a halfback is, and if one becomes surplus to requirements, say at South, goes onto the market, it's interesting domino effect it could create.
Well, I think Ilias will go to market. I think he ends up with the Dogs if I was a betting man.
Ask Braith on 360 tonight, yeah. James.
I'm sure it'll get raised.
Hit him up. Yep.
Well, Ilias probably just needs to focus on getting his
leg right.
His leg right. That's probably the primary focus. So that's not helped. It really hasn't helped. It has it. And it's unfortunate as it is, but yeah, the
good news for him is that he'll be a wanted man.
Yes.
It's not like, oh no, where am I going to go play New South Wales Cup?
Yeah. Oh no. He's an NRL player.
Yeah. He'll be a wanted man.
He'll probably walk away with a pay rise out of it.
Yeah. He's good enough to play NRL and he's not reached his potential yet. Mm. And I think probably all things considered, probably change is needed.
You're a fan of Lewis Dodd, aren't you, Jimmy?
Very much so. Yeah. Yes. Very much so. Played with him. Played against them in training, and that's when you know there's something about somebody.
Style.
When they can come up against, seasoned first graders, he's in the Reggies, and you just sort of not go, you're doing your scrimmage, but he was keen to stand out.
I heard you talking about in the Sunday show, Dobbo seemed to be trying to argue the other way, say it was a strange signing. I actually think it's a smart signing.
How would Dobbo know? unless he's watched every game.
I don't know.
Like, seriousness.
I heard you arguing with him about it.
Well, he's not a difficult person to argue with or pick apart at his points of view.
Love Dobbo because he's a New South Welshman, but in all seriousness, like.
Lewis Dodd, I imagine him coming over. He's still got his best football to come. He'll be better for coming here.
Yeah.
Increased resources. I think he'll rise to the occasion of being able to play on NRL. Like, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. It's going to be very difficult. He's going to a huge club in the most important position in terms of that general. I think fullback has the most influence, but the most important position probably is your halfback, with some big personalities in and around him as well. Yeah. So it's a big job for him. But I think, if Souths can get him at a decent deal, which I imagine he would, then
how will he handle the big personalities, Jimmy? You mentioned that.
Well, he managed to do it successfully at St. Helens. Now, they were a very successful team, but there was big personalities and legends. Like, St. Helens' best ever player in its 150-year history, 120-year history.
Jeez, talk yourself up, Jimmy.
It was another James, not me. He had to demand the ball from him.
Yeah,
and there were some other players that our listeners wouldn't know about that, when Lewis Dodd is a 18, 19-year-old was playing with, he had to assert his authority. And, the evidence is clear. The Penrith Panthers World Cup Challenge game, Panthers at home, comes down to that moment. Lewis Dodd kicks a match-winning field goal after already playing a really good game as well.
Yep.
And he was 20 at the time, I think, from memory. So,
How many of these types are over there, in all seriousness?
There's plenty. There's a couple of other young, decent halfbacks that I think, again, like the differences were very similar, but were so different as well. The biggest difference is away from the field. And I'm talking media, but I'm also talking access to resources in terms of back home, you maybe got, significantly less performance staff, coaching staff. So Lewis Dodd comes over here, he's going to be opening up a whole new world. Now,
he'll walk into Maroubra and go, holy moly.
Some people get swallowed up by that, but what tends to happen is it excels people.
Mm.
So for Lewis Dodd, who's already got a great foundation and knows how to play the game well, I think we'll see him improve.
Yeah, cool. Good stuff. Let's get the mail.
Mail.
Earliest edition of Reedy's Mail, because we've brought it up, South theme, board meeting. What's doing, Reedy?
Yeah, big board meeting tomorrow night for South. And look, my gut feeling is that the way it's going at the moment, they will make a call on Jason Demetrio. And my sense is that he may have coached his last game, if not this week, against Penrith this weekend. Now, I don't know for sure. That's just the sense I get from the way things are going at the moment. And they'll appoint an interim for the rest of the year. But obviously, they've got to thrash that out tomorrow night. It's definitely on the agenda. They'll be talking about the coach and the situation at the moment. And, you know, he was given, obviously, a stay of execution a couple of weeks ago, but they were pretty poor against Melbourne. They got Penrith this week. It's pretty clear their season's sort of fizzling already. So
Fizzling,
you like that word?
Yeah.
Or was he saying fizzling? No? Is that an understatement?
That's a nice way of putting it.
I've undersold it.
Oh.
Give us a word then.
It's over.
Over? You reckon it's done and dusted?
Over. Okay.
Yeah, it's probably done and dusted.
But in terms of them making the eight.
Yeah. They could get relegated. Yeah. the way they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that, though, I find that intriguing that, yes, board members are hard to get a hold of. They've all got their own lives and own businesses that they're doing, independence, all that. You've got to cobble people together. You've got to give plenty of notice. Why wouldn't you have had even just a get-together the day after their match before they had the bye? Yeah. So then you've got a two-week lead-in for the new bloke to go in and go, okay, we're going to do this, that, and the other. Now you've got this cluster, you know what, of this week. And then if they make the decision, new bloke, it's like, what, on two days' notice?
Because I think they play Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So maybe JDC's out this week and then they move on. Maybe he gets a chance to see out the season, but I think it's pretty clear there's going to be someone else coaching the footy team next year.
Is that likely to be,
Wayne?
Just in terms of this year, if he is to go, are we likely to see Ferner come in?
Well, he's the logical one because obviously he's been brought in. The other one, obviously Ben Hornby's there as well. But there was a whisper going around that it would be Ferner who'd take over. Dave's been a head coach before. He was a head coach in Canberra, as a head coach in England.
Do you know, I genuinely think why they didn't make the call in that bye round?
There's another little plug for you. Operation.
Was,
well
it?
Done.
Yeah. Hey, I like what you think. I didn't even think of that. I think they looked after the bye and saw Melbourne away, Penrith at home. Thought, well, if we are going to make a move, we want to see an instant reaction. Yeah. You're not going to get that there. The next month of football, Dragons, Cowboys at home. Eels, Titans.
Winnable stuff.
I think that's a more favourable month of football for a new coach to come into. And then the board look great because they've made the decision.
Yeah.
A new coach comes in, turn around and results in fortune. You go, hey. Or they come in for Melbourne away.
Yeah.
They get no not too dissimilar level of performance, similar result. It's probably against Penrith as well. And it's like, well, hang on, we've made this change to the coach and nothing's changed. Oh.
No sugar hit.
Yeah. That's what I think. That's just me,
makes
connecting.
Sense,
and it does make sense. It makes sense.
Other mail?
Yeah, look, there's another big meeting tomorrow, actually.
Ooh.
Stefano Uitu-Kamano, his manager's meeting the West Tigers tomorrow.
Yeah.
To talk about his future.
Some crazy clauses. Just
the crazy clauses that are in there. Obviously, if he plays two Origin games, he gets an automatic extension.
Yeah.
If the Tigers make the finals, he gets an automatic extension.
I think
next year.
The Tigers use blue pads on the posts as well, he gets an extension.
Some of these clauses in people's contracts are mind-boggling.
That's an incredible one.
Like, I don't get... So, Uitu-Kamano, right. Freddie picked him last year, yeah?
Yep.
And then he, quote-unquote, rested him.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
If he plays in one of them, is that one of those Origin games gone, which reduces the clause, or is it two a year?
No, it's three in total.
Three in total?
Yeah.
Their argument was, if
Freddie didn't rest him,
yes.
So he's one more down.
He's one more down, yeah.
So it's one Origin game?
Yes.
So the theory was that the Tigers said, if we develop you into the player we think we can develop you into, we'll keep you for that extra year. But if we can't, then... Yeah, you can go and test the waters.
My sense is that tomorrow that they'll obviously say, we want to hang around, we want to knock out those clauses, and his camp will say, we want to go to market now and see what's out there for us now. And if we don't do it now, we'll do it November 1 regardless of what happens.
He doesn't want to be here. He wants to go. And with Penrith losing James Fisher-Harris, the obvious landing spot is there.
Well, it's interesting, Jimmy. I reckon they'll put a price on him, and if his price goes above it, they'll look elsewhere. Yeah, that, I don't think they'll pay $900,000 for him. Penrith. I think it'll depend on what his price is.
But that's it with Penrith. They don't need to.
Yeah. But some
they
club.
They don't need to.
I could see some club coming in and going, bang, we'll give you 900.
Absolutely, they would. But Penrith, they don't need. They're not playing that game. Mm. Yeah. They're not playing the desperate card.
Yeah. So then he'll have a decision to make about what he does.
Mm.
Whether he cops $200,000 less to play at a club like Penrith. Or Melbourne's a similar boat. So many clubs are going to have a look at him on November 1. He'll have clubs beating a path to his door. Because everyone wants, we saw what happened with Fisher Harris, Fanua Blake. Everyone wants props, good quality props at the moment. Props and halfbacks, that's what everyone wants and can't find.
I can imagine.
Jimmy, you need to make a comeback. You'd make a fortune.
Got to ask Peter
almost
for
as much
for,
he makes on the buy round, probably.
Yeah, need permission from him, don't I? Yeah, forgot about that.
Write your note.
I reckon I'd be good for around... maybe a set and a half.
12 minutes. I was going to give you 12 minutes before
someone went, there's an imposter. It'd be George Weah's cousin. That's what it'd be. Be George Weah's cousin all over again. Like, hang on a minute. He said it's James Graham. It's not.
Did you ever hear that story, Reedy?
No, what was it?
George Weah's cousin. George Weah won the...
Yeah, great player.
Yeah.
Won the World Player of the Year one year. Apparently his cousin... Graham Souness,
Southampton manager, signed him because he was George Weah's cousin.
30 minutes into the game, I went...
No, he was on the bench. They put him on.
Right, put him on.
He was dreadful, so they subbed him off again.
Oh,
they realised pretty quickly that he'd... Yeah.
That's shades of Greg Smith, the great NFL player. He came out and played. Brian Smith signed him at Newcastle.
Oh.
And he was terrible.
Honking.
Anyway.
Sorry, we digressed from Reedy's mail.
Yeah, one more.
Utoya Kamanu linked... goes to me to George Weah's cousin.
Yeah, look, one more in Melbourne. Xavier Coates had that hammy problem the weekend. Look, they're still hopeful he will play, but if he doesn't, we might get our first glimpse this year of young Sua Fa'alongo, who made his comeback for North Sydney on the weekend and once again scored an absolute cracking try. He is an unbelievable footballer. We just can't get a run at the moment.
I can't work out how he hasn't played.
Yeah. Well, he keeps getting, every time he can come into the team, he keeps getting injured.
Yeah.
What's interesting is Melbourne are trying to extend Ryan. Well, they've just started talks with Ryan Papenhuyzen about a contract extension. And Sua's hovering in the background. And if they extend Ryan out, then I reckon Sua's got a decision to make if he wants to play fullback, because he won't be playing fullback with Paps there.
Well, there's no decision.
You go?
You got to. Yeah. Unless you want to be playing for North Sydney Bears.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he might like the cafes down in Melbourne.
Yeah. He might like playing on the wing.
What? In front of Warbrick and Coates?
Oh, potentially. They've got to find a spot for him somewhere. He's too good to be playing New South Wales.
Yeah, I know, but he's not good enough to make that back three.
Yep.
Something will pop
up
for him.
Some
of the
centres, maybe.
He'll be okay.
Who's their centres at the moment? Remus Smith and me. Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's his avenue in.
Yeah.
We were going to touch on, Reedy, I think, the Manly situation with DCE and Olakau'atu, but as we sit here right now, the deadline still hasn't passed.
If we can keep the pod going for another half hour, we'll have a decision.
I've got parking running out in about 15, so...
They asked for an extension.
With all due respect to the production values of this wonderful little get-together...
Let's just record it both ways. Wow, I can't believe they're fighting that. Oh, they've accepted it. Good on them.
But they're seriously thinking about fighting it. That shows because they've asked for an extension to decide what they do.
Yeah, it's a big call.
Yeah, it is a big call. Because if they get three games, they miss the Brisbane game and Magic Round, I think.
Yeah, that wonderful decision to take a home game to play Brisbane at Magic Round. Thumbs up. Big thumbs up. But if DCE does miss a couple of weeks, we'll get our look at Luke Brooks at halfback and probably Jack Arthur comes in for the six.
Maybe Arthur plays seven.
Maybe, one of the other.
But, six, yeah.
Schuster obviously not in the scene anymore, so he might have been the next best.
Benny Trbojevic has been out with a hamstring problem, but I'm not sure when he's back. But he'd slide straight back in,
I
imagine.
One of the consequences of this is the Monday scrum could suffer.
Yeah.
Because we're missing Woodsy again.
True.
Like, he gets more game time.
What, he's going to play halfback?
He could play somewhere.
It can't be that desperate. Imagine him at halfback. He talked his way around the field. No problem.
All front rowers think they're halves, don't they? There's a little bit of halfback in every front row, isn't there? Des used to have you playing like a halfback a little bit.
He was your prototypical middle first receiver.
Yeah.
Now everyone does it.
Hopefully they we can get Woodsy back. He has been sorely missed. We didn't mention from the top of the show he's got bigger fish to fry. Get him back in the reserves and back on the Monday scrum.
Exactly. That's it for Mal. All good. Well, let's get to Newcastle Knights. So you guys were up there. Producer Charlie was there and Jimmy, you were there as well. For the sin bin, described it as one of the more bizarre atmospheres that you've seen for a crowd of 20,000 at Suncorp. Dolphins taking the game there to play Newcastle. Maybe this was a game that might have been on the radar for KO Stadium up at Redcliffe.
We said that, but there was still 20,000 there.
Yeah.
So obviously Sunday afternoon, you have your Anzac Day, let's say, festivities with the two up and whatnot. So a bit of a longer style weekend for the people. You get to the Suncorp Stadium Sunday afternoon, but it was like a library.
Really?
It was like Quiet Please.
Yeah.
You know, or Wimbledon. Yes. Everyone needs to be...
Everyone shut up.
But then the ground announcer sort of came, and then he was talking to them, but also then the way the Dolphins and the Knights were playing, like the Dolphins weren't great, but the Knights just came with an intent to play the low percentage stuff. Like Kai Pearce-Paul had a number of runs.
High percentage stuff, you mean.
The arm was free, but he elected not to force the offload. So the Knights came with a clear game plan. Yeah. Obviously, I think it suits them without Ponga. It was bizarre. It was almost like, hang on, it was like we were calling that a park football ground, because I know it would have sounded, I think that the tech people were working overtime that our listeners
back
could
to
actually
COVID
like
with the fake noise.
What was the crowd, Jimmy? How many?
I think it was 20, well, they announced 20,000.
Really?
The ground announcer job's a prick of a job at the best of times and in situations like that. Come on, everybody, make some noise.
But they should have and they did a little bit, but I don't know.
It's one of my pet hates, ground announcers. Don't get me started.
Why?
Get rid of them.
Why?
Have you been to Manly this year, to Brookvale? Oh, my Lord, that bloke never shuts up. And they have the speaker up so loud.
Oh, Grandad, come
so
on.
So loud.
What about the youth? What about the DJs?
Well, they need some bloke screaming at them.
Can we get rid of your job at 2GB? I think his days at Triple M are numbered.
The speakers are so loud. And bizarrely, the speakers face into the...
It's about generating atmosphere.
Is it okay
that Four Pines Park is full, or you prefer not to be full? There's too many people here. It's too loud.
You're between the face sitting in front of one of those speakers at Four Pines. It's pretty loud. Anyway, David.
It's not.
You've started me, Jimmy. Mate. It's my pet hate. Ground announcers.
Right, well, let George Costanza calm down over here and get to David Armstrong, who scored a try on debut in Newcastle's win.
No, it was a tough game. It was fast. It was everything I expected it to be. Yeah, maybe a bit tougher than what I thought. The lungs were blowing there and cramping up. We'd bloody 20 minutes ago. I didn't know what to do there when that started happening.
Is that the biggest difference for you, just the speed of the game?
Yeah, the main thing was the speed, you know. I didn't feel the contact was that much more than New South Wales Cup. I played a lot of Cup now, and just the main thing was the speed of the game. Took me by surprise. Yeah.
You haven't played against Jared Rhea Hargreaves yet. just settle down with that one.
And off David went to wrestle a bull and listen to some Lee Kernaghan. He's country through and
it's
through.
It's a great story. He came from a little town on the border that's New South Wales, Queensland border. I think the population's about 700, isn't it? He used to have to drive 90 minutes to games when he was a kid.
Minimum 200K.
Yeah. It's a great story.
Like,
and he handled himself brilliantly, didn't he, Jimmy? Mm. Really well.
Yeah. Those, talk about a feel-good factor. But he actually played really well.
Yeah, he played really well.
So you love the backstories that go into it. And he had, I think, from the small town he's from, you know, if you were a burglar in that town, you would have got away with a lot, because half the town was at Suncorp Stadium to watch this lad play. It was brilliant. I think a town like, 700 people 700, on the census? Yeah. Well, there was at least 350 of his friends, families, neighbours. It was brilliant, and the kid had a go as well. You've got to admire that. Like, the biggest shoes in rugby league to fill from a playing perspective, I feel. Like, I don't think there's one person that's more has more of a say on a team's possibility of winning than Kalen Ponga does. I think he's overtaken Tommy Trbojevic in that role. So the biggest shoes to fill. And he had a dig. He was everywhere. He had some great moments in attack. I think watching him play, he had a few half chances there that maybe just that fatigue caught up with him, that burning in the lungs. Once he gets more comfortable being fatigued, he can hit the accelerator again and finish some of those off.
It was interesting watching him at halftime walking off after on the early kick with 40 seconds to go. Early tackle, I think it was play two or three. He put in this instinctive grubber, went after it, made the mistake, and they had to all of a sudden defend a couple of tackles. And you can see him walking off, shaking his head, going, oh, am I going to cop a spray here for doing something out of the structure?
But I think you encourage that. Obviously, with the way the game plan was going, it probably that wasn't on the cards for Newcastle.
No.
But I think, you know, for me, he should have got a penalty. Mm. For me, Ewan Aitken takes him out. A penalty, sin bin, you know, a big play from the kid.
Bit of breaking news on
Manly. Here we go.
While the show's on.
Yep. Oh, we can delete those edits.
They've copped the early guilty plea for Homoli Olakau'atu, so he gets a two-match ban. They've submitted a guilty plea for Daly, but they'll dispute the grading.
And so what does that
mean? They're going to try and get it downgraded from a grade two to a grade one charge, which would mean, I think, perhaps he'd still miss one game.
No, I think it's a fine.
Is it just a fine? Okay. Could be just a fine.
It's just a fine.
Okay, so it could be just a fine for Daly. So that's what's happened.
But the key is, and we're not quite sure because it's so confusing. I mean, like, if he fights it, loses the downgrade, does he cop a bit of loading and it's three? So, well, yeah.
No, I think the way that
it's
works
two
is,
or nothing.
I think it's two. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's worth a play then.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. So they might have Daly this weekend after all.
Okay. We'll wait and see. Here we go. Now. What the heck? The WTF. Moment. Mind if I go first this week?
You go, mate.
Jason Demetriou under pressure, obviously at South. Nothing like the coach of the Wide Bay Bulls in the Mal Meninga Cup.
Oh.
130-0 loss. Word is that they made a bit of a go at it at 56-0 down and they were threatening a comeback, but it just got away from them towards halftime. 130-0.
It's really
tough day at the office.
No, not only a tough day at the office, it's actually really difficult to do.
23 tries, I think it was.
It's a try every, what, less than 4 minutes.
Mm.
That's a try every two sets.
Is that the game where Kobe Black scored a gazillion points?
He's on the
Broncos kid.
Broncos list.
Yeah, he's like the next great halfback coming out of Brisbane, Kobe Black.
Mm.
I think he's 18, 19. They love him.
Yeah, well, Wide Bay Bulls probably not in love
with him.
They
don't love him so much, no.
That's a tough one. Poor old Wide Bay. I had a look at their results in the Mal Meninga Cup, which is the under-19s up there in Queensland, and they haven't had a win all year. They've been towed up more often than not. Hopefully, they can rock up next week and put some points on the board and get close for a
and
win.
And not concede over 100.
The poor kids. I don't know how yet.
It's demoralising.
It is demoralising. And hopefully they stick with the game. But WTF for me. Who wants? Ready?
I'm going to go with, I wasn't at Campbelltown Stadium on Saturday night, mm-hmm. but I'm told that there are almost as many Brisbane fans there as West Tigers fans, apparently. And the commotion for Reece Walsh at full time, people were queuing up everywhere to get a glimpse of Reece Walsh. And I know there was a debate this morning about whether he's the most popular player in the history of rugby league. But I tell you what, he is a rock star.
He's the most popular now.
Oh, he could be the most popular of my time. I can't think of too many who are more universally more popular. Like in Queensland, we love Wally, but everyone down here hated Wally.
Yeah, Andrew Johns was pretty popular.
Well, people in Queensland weren't particularly taken by Joey, but he's universally loved, Reece Walsh. They love him down here as well.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. And
he's an amazing football player.
He's going all right.
Ridiculously good football player.
Mm.
Much loved. My nieces love him.
Yep. Wonder why. Jimmy.
My WTF moment this week is Coach Shane Flanagan after the game.
Yeah.
Very seldom do you get jabs like this. Now, I think this was calculated and there's a reason behind it. Take the attention away from the Dragons. Poor performance, but I've got to admire Shane Flanagan for putting himself out there and having a little jab at his old club.
He's spiced it up, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Mind you, it did take the focus off the way they played.
Well, that's why he did it.
Yeah. It's an old trick, isn't it, that one?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
But Mind you, I do think he would love nothing more than to beat Cronulla this week, Flanner. He would love it.
I reckon if you're a Dragons fan, you see straight through that. And you're still thinking of how do we get beaten by that far on that day? It's pretty ordinary.
Maybe, but he's led with his chin there, Flanner, hasn't he? He's put himself
doesn't
on.
Mind
he's,
it.
Yeah, and also, if the Sharks get one up on him, like, it's one of them, he'd love to beat them.
Yeah.
Well, the last two weeks of the Sharks.
Yeah.
Geez, they've been good.
They're playing all right. They're playing all right. A couple of other things before we go on the Monday scrum. Let's hear from Ivan Cleary about why he dropped his star winger.
Yeah, Sonny didn't play mainly because he was going through his contract decision and still negotiating. So it was something that has been sort of going on for a few weeks. And I think people don't quite understand how much that can take out of someone, especially a young man with such a big decision, not just professionally wise, but emotionally. So that's why we gave him the nine off. He'll be back next week.
Certainly caught everyone by surprise, not least the people who had him in multis for any time try scorer. But that's beside the point. They don't mind. Like, they can see pretty clearly with stuff, Penrith. And obviously they've got cred, points, cash, whatever you want to call it, in the bank. So they're coming from a position of strength. But you wouldn't imagine a team that's 2-6 doing something like this with one of their best players. But it's a big call still. Just to say, you know what, frame of mind, just relax yourself, mate. You'll come back and play no matter what next week.
Yeah, it's a luxury that the Panthers have. Yeah. Part of me has just wondered if that 10-day cooling off period, if Penrith maybe haven't gone back.
Ooh.
No, I think they've waived it, Jimmy. I think they've waived the 10-day cooling off period, yeah. I think he's done and dusted.
Feels like they've got Penrith in particular, and again, this is from a...
If you listen to Cleary, he said he's like still negotiating that contract.
No, I think he said he was giving him time off to finish. I think the Tigers announced it, didn't they? From memory or not? I think they've waived the 10-day. They've waived the 10-day cooling off period. But didn't initially when he, but I think they have subsequently now.
Okay,
I believe I might be wrong, but I think that was my understanding.
But it seems odd.
That they gave him time off.
Yeah. Well, I get it, and it's a luxury to have, but.
Yeah, he's waived it, yeah. They've announced it. No, I just think it was a really hard decision for him because he's a Penrith guy.
Yeah.
You know, he loves that club, and I think he was hopeful that when Fish Harris went, they might come back and maybe stump up a little bit more money for him. I don't think they were prepared to do that, so he had to deal with that as well. So I think it was a wise decision by the club to give him a little break.
And last one, Mike Acevo. So Parra have got the bye this week. James, can you put into words how bashed this guy is going to get physically at training this week in terms of what Brad Arthur and the conditioning staff are going to do?
Well, make him wrestle everyone.
Don't get out of that path. But the amount of running he might need to do, the extras, just as to say, mate, sharpen your mind a bit.
Well, I think you just get Gutho's press conference.
Yeah.
And let Gutho know. Yeah, I don't know. Look, the Eels should have been better coming out of halftime, but any possibility and chance of them winning was, you know, they just got Pennacini back on as well.
That's a brain explosion if you've ever seen. Just one on Gutho as well. I was watching that game. He was turning like a Woolworths truck toward the end, chasing some of those kicks. I'm not sure he's 100%.
Of course he's busted.
He can do him every with the week off. Yeah. But he's playing through something that ordinarily might keep him out,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, of course. But that's the character of that he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to let his teammates down. He doesn't want to let his coach down. And they view it as, we'd rather have a 70% fit Gutherson than no Gutherson at all.
No doubt that's probably why he was as frustrated as he was, because he's playing through pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, doing everything he can to get out there. And then one of his teammates does something so stupid that costs him any chance to win the footy game. Mind you, he couldn't kick a goal, Gutho, either the other night.
Well, that, again, it's
shocking.
Give it to someone else.
And Gutho as well, like, against his old team. Like, there's still a bit there where
he lives in the
area. Yeah. I know they've moved on.
10 minutes from Brookvale Oval.
And he's captain of another team, but still, there's plenty of feeling between those two clubs as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'd imagine these 2 weeks will involve Gutho on the treatment table next to the main training field there at Parramatta, and he can just watch Sivo just do doggies.
Yeah.
after training up and back.
He played well up until then too, Sivo, because he'd obviously been dropped.
He's a weapon.
He'd come back into the team, and he was looking more like the old Sivo. But
Gentlemen, have a good week. Ready?
Yep,
look forward to reading some of your delightful
thank you.
Work through the week. And James, buy round and 360. You're a busy man, so have a good one.
Yeah, will do.
Thanks, everyone. That was Monday Scrum.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.